radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Don't you know it, on this gorgeous February 14th, Valentine's Day.
Gorgeous is the word.
It is. It's gorgeous. It's 70 degrees outside.
I have a leather jacket because I'm used to the past weather, and I wore it. I'm sweating like a plow horse.
Well,
I'm sweating.
It's not pretty.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
And I don't normally sweat, as you know. I'm just going to explode when I'm 50. But, no, it's hot. It's hot.
It
it's actually hot. And I feel cruel to be talking about this for our listeners that are dealing with that mess back east.
You, cruel?
Well, you know, annoying.
Annoying. All right. All right. I'll go for that. I know that. But it's nice to have a lovely day. And I know that our guests, they were just talking. I overheard them about their Valentine's Day plans.
Yes.
One of our guests is taking his beautiful wife for tango lessons.
Tango lessons.
That's right. I think so. Oh, yeah, I hope she... Well, maybe she should.
Now she knows.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's not my wife.
Oh.
Does she know that?
And so now my wife knows that, too.
Gosh.
Oh, man,
now,
Michael.
Talk about cruel. What have I just done?
Boy, how do you do
this? It just suddenly got hotter here.
Wow.
I know. Now I'm sweating like a...
Valentine's Day has a whole new meaning. Before
I'm
we say
so
any more,
sorry.
Let's thank our sponsor, shall we?
Yes, indeed. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Aren't we ever? And we have two guests in studio today, Paul. You know, both are co-starring currently on stage at the Pasadena Playhouse in Fallen Angels, the classic comedy of wit and words by none other than the great Noel Coward. Mary Pat Green and Elisha Alexander are in the house.
Yes.
We like that.
Hey,
yeah.
We don't spare any expense.
You know,
fair.
High-end show.
Where are the trumpets?
Yeah, what?
We're used to trumpets.
You know, we've been asked for a lot, but never trumpets.
Well, you never know what you get around here, though, right? Paul will surprise you with something, I'm sure. Paul, speaking of you,
yes.
How was your week?
My week was good. We're plugging along with our the film, the fundraising. We're doing a short film called Beating, which addresses issues of bullying in our society.
Fantastic.
Mm. And it's a short film, and we got great news about two things. We have an actor that was actually the inspiration for the role when I wrote it, and when we were talking to the director, says, you know, we want someone like this guy. I can't use his name yet because contracts aren't signed.
Yeah.
But we want someone like this guy. And they said, well, why don't we just ask this guy?
Right.
And we asked him, and he read the script, and he loved it. So the actual inspiration for the role is playing the role, which is kind of cool. And then we also got a song from one of our, the art director had recommended a song to us, a very famous song.
It was a
top 10 hit in 1998, a Billboard top 10. And we're like, yeah, we'll never get licensing for this. It's, you know, ridiculous. And the art director said, no, I actually know the guys in this band, so let me try to do it. And he connected with them, and we have permission to use this song. So it's these are all the things that really help a low-budget short film.
Well, you know, connections in
all
this
those
town.
little in-kind contributions that keep us all afloat. So
congratulations.
Nice.
That's very exciting.
And how about you? How was your week?
You know, we concluded LA's Next Great Stage Star 2013 at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, which is a separate club that I happen to produce. You know it.
I do. I'm Terry White's going to be there.
That is correct.
Yes, she's a dear friend of mine.
Yes, I just booked her. Lovely lady. We can't wait to have her.
She just got back from the
Kennedy Center doing that series, and the reviews were unbelievable. Yes. I just read them.
She's an incredible performer. Go see her at Sterling.
There you go. Coming up. Yes, coming
Sterling's
up.
Upstairs at the Federal, yes.
Yes, and the results of LA's Next Great Stage Star after a very intense 6 weeks of competition with 20 new young people from all of the universities around Southern California and other places, but a lot of them coming in from SC and UCI down in Irvine and UCLA, et cetera. They swept the audience and the judges, and our winner is a lovely young lady who is in school still in her last year at USC, Charlotte Mary Wen, and four other runners up to her, and the Pantages Theater being one of our our sponsors of this competition called me during the event, which was so great, and said, we'd like your winner and your first runner-up to be our guests at the opening of Jekyll and Hyde tomorrow night at the Pantages.
Oh, how nice that
and
is.
Walk the red carpet and, you know, meet the press. And that's exactly what we did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were
I had to be over the moon about
they
that.
They were just, beside themselves. So, you know, they're young and they're not experienced yet. They're still in school. This competition is judged by, as Paul knows, you know, 20 judges who are the hierarchy of musical theater here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. The people that can hire you, give you a career, sign you to a contract, represent you as an agent, etc. So we had a wonderful time, and that was a lot of hard work. And you know how it is. You come to the end of a show like you're doing out there at Pasadena, and when it's all over, you kind of like...
Come up with that breath of air.
Exactly. But thanks for asking, Paul.
LA's Next Great Stage Star is a great thing. And I'm always when Michael refers to it as a competition, because it is a competition, but it's a very nurturing competition. It's very encouraging. And the kids are, you know, that the criticisms are very, very constructive.
Very supportive.
With some of the dreck that's on television these days, I always like to draw that distinction between, you know, just objectifying young performers and actually encouraging them. Mm-hmm. So
when they leave, and when 15 are eliminated on the very last day, because we don't have any eliminations, they don't feel short. They really walk away with such a wealth of information.
They've gotten information. Oh,
and they've gotten the whole experience from start to finish.
The information they would never get.
Information
they'd never get after an audition.
Right.
You know?
Bravo.
Yeah. Bravo. So thank you. Thank you very much.
So let's get into these folks that we have sitting with us here. Our first guest played Odessa in the popular Lifetime television series Any Day Now, which starred Annie Potts. Since then, her unique talent has been seen on television in such shows as Saving Grace, The Middle, Eli Stone, Desperate Housewives, and such films as In Her Shoes and My Best Friend's Wedding. Her appearances on Broadway include the original cast of Sweeney Todd and Candide. She also performed the role of the Reverend Mother over 1,500 times in the hilarious stage musical Nonsense. But now's your chance to see her live in Los Angeles on stage at the lovely Pasadena Playhouse in Fallen Angels, which has received rave reviews. Please welcome. First day with a new mouth. I'm breaking it in for a friend. Please welcome Mary Pat Greene. Yeah.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm
Thank
terrific.
You so much.
Thank you for
and
that lovely introduction.
You
I was
are
listening
so
to my
welcome.
Credits and going. Yes, I did do that.
And I love the fact that she wore makeup on the radio, because a lot of our ladies don't do that.
I try to look good.
You look
She does. She looks lovely.
Yeah.
And she
I
was very.
What
are you doing
tonight?
There's
going to be a paparazzi, you know, popping out of the bushes.
And thank you so much for being so understanding when I thought you were Mary Pat Donovan
That's
when you came
why
in. Because
I
said Mary Pat Donovan, and Michael was like, oh, yeah, Mary Pat Donovan, the nun show.
That was weeks ago.
There's several of us. There's Mary Pat Gleason, who I'm always up against, and Mary Pat Donovan, both very, very funny.
And have you collectively cornered the nun market? Is it like
I don't know if Mary Pat Gleason, I'm sure she's played a nun, but Mary Pat Donovan's show is fantastic, and I did Nonsense all those many, many, many times. Fantastic, fun show to do.
No, it is.
You know,
it
when
is.
You're Irish and, you know, you just end up playing nuns.
Yeah.
I actually just played a nun, which will interest your audience, on American Horror Story.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes,
my.
I was in two episodes of that this season, was able to slap Jessica Lange, which was very exciting, and steal a baby from someone. So I was not
That's
very
a full
nice
day. Yeah, that's a full day. Yeah.
Well, it was two
I slapped
episodes,
Jessica Lange.
So
oh, okay. All right. Have they aired already?
Yes, they have.
Oh, okay.
Aired,
but I'll have to look for those on Hulu. That's great.
That's the only way I can talk about it, you know, because they have this
thing
you sign where you can't talk about what you did on the show, but it's all aired. The season is over.
I haven't seen it, but I've not heard a bad word about
it. It's an amazing show, but you have to be ready for the fact that it's called American Horror Story.
Right.
It is bloody and hard and fantastic, and I mean, it really is amazing. Jessica Lange is brilliant.
You know, good scary is as hard as good comedy.
Well, absolutely.
And cheap scary is as easy as cheap comedy.
Yeah.
So that's why it's.
And I know all those things. Cheap comedy, cheap scary.
But your show now is not cheap comedy. It is Noel Coward. You can't get more elegant comedy than that. So can you tell us sort of what that's about? What it's like?
Sure.
A little synopsis.
Fallen Angels is about two women who have been friends since they were 8 and 9 years old, and they have been married, each to different people, of course, for 5 years. And they've gotten to a place in their marriage where it feels just a little like they're not getting as much attention as they might. And all of a sudden, a postcard arrives from a former lover of both of them from years past, 7 years past. They each had this man as a lover, not knowing that the other one did, and not at the same time. So this postcard arrives. So the first part of the play is all about them anticipating the arrival of this lover, and what are they going to do? Are they going to get out of town? Are they going to stick around and wait for him? And the lovely Elijah Alexander, who is here, it plays Maurice Duclos, the famous French lover.
Okay.
And comedy ensues.
And comedy ensues.
It's really one of, I think, Coward's most interesting and funny plays, but we don't see it. We see private lives, we see wide spirit.
Yes, Elijah mentioned that out in the lobby. Yeah. Why do you think that is? And both feel free to answer that. Why do you think this one is less produced? Just awareness, or?
Maybe awareness. You know, it's not as succinct in what it does. It sort of has lots of other things popping in and out, whereas Private Lives is really very focused on those two couples. Mm-hmm. But it sure is funny. And Art Mankey, who is our director at the Pasadena Playhouse, where you can purchase tickets at PasadenaPlayhouse.org, Art is just an amazing master at Noel Coward plays. He's done a lot of them, and he just knows exactly how to do it, and just directed us, let us do what we wanted to do, and then brought us in and made it, I think, an amazing piece.
I think that
that in itself is an art as a director.
It is.
To take Noel Coward and really know what to do with him, because if you make a mistake there,
there's really a long evening.
Quite irreverent
when you make a mistake.
Yeah. Well, judging by the reviews, no mistakes have been made, because you guys are just a full out bona fide hit.
We feel like a hit with Critics' Choice in L.A. Times.
They couldn't do it until they found the perfect cast.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Is that it?
Oh, that's why it's rarely done.
I like that.
Is that it?
We do have an amazing cast. An amazing cast. Well,
is there any sort of thought that this show might go off and go somewhere else to another theater with this amazing cast?
Well, there's talk of that, but I don't know if it's official. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll not. But it might come back in the fall somewhere.
Oh, mm-hmm. She said knowingly.
Scandinavian tour.
He's got my accent.
All right. We won't talk about a couple of other. No, the other people, the other actors, we should give them a shout out. Of course, we have Elijah Alexander with us here and Mary Pat Green both with us. But the Pamela J. Gray is in the show as well. A Lauren Lester, a Katie McNichol, and Mike Ryan are the other actors in the show. And Michael, we'll do this again, but do you want to throw out how people can get tickets to this? And
We'll put that
out there a couple of times.
Well, as Mary Pat just said, through the website.
She tucked that in rather deftly, didn't she?
Thank you so much.
Yes, she did.
PasadenaPlayhouse.org. Or they can call 626-356-7529. That is the Pasadena Playhouse box office. That's operating Tuesday through Sunday from 12 p.m. until 6 p.m. and during non-performance dates. On performance dates, the box office is open Tuesday through Saturday, and a little longer on the hours, 12 to 8 p.m. and 12 to 7 on Sunday. So tickets are available 24/7 on that website. Don't forget, and group sales are available 8 or more, and you simply call, as I said, 626-921-1161.
And Elijah mentioned something earlier that I thought was interesting, the fact that the show has done this well and is not a musical, what would normally be, a full, out, hit of this nature. But it's really nice to see.
It's probably for the folks out there who live in Pasadena and really more frequently get a chance to patronize the Playhouse, it's probably right up their alley, those folks,
The subscribers love it. And there are only, 14 more performances. So we play until February 24th.
That's correct.
So please, get your tickets. We're doing very well in ticket sales, but we could always use more fantastic theater.
Sure, could always do better because it's Southern California.
That's correct.
And it's Los Angeles. And
that is correct.
Getting people out of their homes for theater in this town is one of God's great mysteries.
It's hard.
Well, we made it through the Super Bowl, and hopefully on our final day we'll make it through the Academy Awards.
Thought of you on that day.
Yeah.
Oh, you had a performance on the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday.
That was our opening night.
Yeah.
And it was extraordinary. The people that chose us over the Super Bowl.
Well, I go to the movies that day. I always do, because I'm not a football fan. Oh, yeah? And I just always shoot for the movies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you see this?
What? It's not really important.
Uh-huh.
This is the one year I did not. But the thing is that I have a lot of trouble at movie theaters because one person will ruin a movie for me because I'm so, like, hypersensitive to...
And how is that?
What?
How is that? How does that happen?
What happens when people are disrespectful or loud or cell phones or anything like that? Because, you know, I still have a theater is church mentality, you know, live theater or film.
Sacred space.
You know, yeah. And Michael, I know how you are with cell phones. You've come close to fisticuffs with people over there.
Well, not quite fisticuffs, but no, it's it. And I don't know whether you see it. I mean, it's just appalling to me in the theater, you know, and I go to a lot of theater to review it, and you see someone sitting there actually during a performance, and they're texting, and it's like they have no concern, and they don't even think anyone else is possibly noticing that this is happening.
I know. I don't understand why they don't realize that we can see their screen.
Yeah,
it's lit up.
Well, and their face is lit up.
I've asked many people to
well, or that, them, it's the same mindset of that we can't, you know, when we do equity, I do a lot of equity waiver theater in town, the audience is 3 feet away, and they think that they're watching television. Like, don't they know that sound travels both ways, you know?
I wonder what would happen if a theater in Los Angeles imposed upon its patrons that they had to check in their cell phone coming in.
You know, they do that for some of the movies, like at the BAFTA Awards.
Oh, really?
They make you take your
if you're at a
private
screenings,
they make you take
you
out your phone and
phone.
Turn it off in front of them, and sometimes they'll...
check it.
You drop it off
them,
and check it.
Yeah, because there's a lot of this pirating option there.
Exactly.
Yeah. The... what was I going to say? The cell phones going off, that's a mistake anyone could make, forgetting to turn it off. It's when they answer the call that I'm ready to throttle.
Right.
I did a show once where someone answered in the front row.
Yeah.
This lady answered, I'm watching a show right now, Eileen. I can't talk to you. And I'm like, hello, we're here. I haven't heard a cell phone go off yet in Pasadena.
Knocking collective wood. We're sorry to
knock some wood. But you know, I always think about Katharine Hepburn at that moment because she was doing a play called West Side Waltz with Dorothy Loudon on Broadway.
I held my breath. I thought she was going to say West Side Story.
No. That would have been interesting.
One of the lesser known productions of it,
But she...
Tony!
Okay, killing
me. She did it right after On Golden Pond.
That's right. Because she was such, you know, a star by then. So they had done like about 5 minutes of the show. And someone in the second row started talking to her friend and unwrapping candies and doing all the things you're not supposed to do. And she stopped the show. And I'm sorry, we're going to have to stop because someone's making noise. Ring it down. Ring down the curtain. Ring it down. And they brought the curtain down, and they reset the stage, and they started all over again.
Wow.
Good for her.
And I just thought, yeah, exactly. Good for her.
Yeah.
Because, A, she has the power to do that. And maybe had it been 25 minutes in, she wouldn't have done that. But I just thought, that's the way to go. I think I'll do that if somebody's cell phone goes off.
Oh, I'm trying to imagine more collective embarrassment on that. Can you imagine being that person?
Oh, no.
Just being the focus
of
Catherine
Hepburn's
wrath.
I think that's
Hepburn's
what you deserve, is that kind of
embarrassment. Oh, no,
it just doesn't come.
People need
often.
To be educated. People need
they need to be trained, and especially the young people, they don't
get it.
Well, they don't have the they don't have the training. They don't have the education yet to understand the sanctity.
They don't have the respect for it.
Yeah.
You know,
and
gotta educate them.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I have the private course that I teach at the Learning Center.
Oh, and just
on etiquette.
I'm sending some people there to see you.
Mary Pat, I want to ask you, and it's forgive me if it's a trite question, but with your extensive TV and film credits, I always like to ask people that are still doing live theater and keeping it alive. We're so grateful for that. But what is your favorite form, your favorite medium? Is it, you've done everything,
so. Wow. Musical theater, that's what I always wanted to do. I left Kansas City to do it at the age of 21 and was amazingly lucky to do it right away. And to work with Hal Prince twice and to be in Sweeney Todd, and Stephen Sondheim's amazing musical. So that's my first love.
Right.
And I left New York mainly because it was just way too cold there. We talked about this earlier. Yeah. Way too cold for somebody who got a little bit older and said, oh, okay, I got 20 years of this. Yep. But TV and film is great fun as well. Mm-hmm. I get to slap Jessica Lange. How can I? You know, that wouldn't happen on stage. Yeah. Maybe it would.
Well, in Sweeney Todd it might.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I'd have to slice her neck.
Yeah, right.
But musical theater or just live theater and being able to do a play like this at the Pasadena Playhouse, that play is called Fallen Angels, tickets at PasadenaPlayhouse.org. My agents weren't thrilled because you take yourself out of television and film when you're doing theater in Los Angeles because there are no understudies usually because theaters can't afford them. Theaters are in bad shape. So, but for me, that is my passion, is live theater.
Oh.
So to say, oh, well, gee, I might get a TV show during those 8 weeks. I can't do a show. No way. That's absolutely my preference.
And it's just, you know, I've had conversations with agents and managers about this, and it's just like, if something happens for film and television, you got to drop the theater thing. I mean, you didn't come out to L.A. to do live theater. It's like, well, yeah, but I'm doing it now. And this is what I'm devoting my time to. I'm not going to not do a play for 8 weeks on the hopes that I get a call from you and it's going to conflict. It's a quandary.
I mean, my agents were very, very, very understanding.
Yeah.
Because they understand my background and what I love to do. I have terrific agents.
And also, you book out properly and you follow all the rules and you don't spring anything on them.
Right.
You
exactly. Know. They have a theater department. They negotiated the contract. But it's just always, you know, that question, oh, it's pilot season, oh, it's, it doesn't matter to me when it is. I'm going to do live theater.
Yeah. Good for you.
Elijah, what about you? What are your, where's your heart lie? Not to spring it on you, but go!
on this day, we're all employing our hearts. looking inward, this day of Valentine's, St. Valentine's. I started actually as a musician early on. And had always had a love of musical theater, although I haven't done any. I started as a rock musician. And then I segued into theater and, you know, was fascinated by when I discovered poetry and classical poetry in particular. And so, which was related to music because it's very musical.
Sure.
So it made sense and, started to learn to speak verse, I was sort of, a whole new world was opened up to me, and I made a career of doing a lot of Shakespeare.
A lot of classics.
And a lot of language plays, a lot of Shaw, a lot of British plays, and it's carried me through the last, 16 years or so. Mm-hmm. In the course of that time, I got to dabble in with the TV work and the film work, and I'm utterly fascinated by working on that scale.
It is such a completely different world.
Acting is acting, but it is a completely different world. It's a completely different medium that requires, you're still acting, but it requires different technical sort of
skill set.
Different skill set. Yeah. And it's an interesting skill set for me to develop, and I'm fascinated by it. So that's why I moved to L.A. in the first place, and that was about 8 years ago.
8 years ago. And Mary Pat, you moved here when?
I first moved here in 91, and then in 2005, I think, I moved back to New York because I said I want to live in New York again and not be too old to go up and down the subway steps. So I thought, I better go now.
Yeah.
And I moved back here about a year and a half ago. But I split my time. I go there a lot because I just love New York. And I don't know if it's because the first 20 years of my youth from 20 to 40 were spent there. So it feels like home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feels like home. I go back and it totally feels like the right thing. I also just love the energy there.
Yeah.
I don't have to get in a car. I can walk out my building. I see people immediately.
It's a great walking city.
It's a great walking city, and it's just, you're never lonely in New York. You can, go to the Bed Bath & Beyond. They're open from, 9 to 10. You can see the guy there and go, hi. And So it's just an amazing city. But so I lived here for 16 years or so, and then I moved back there, and now I'm back here. But I go back.
I think it was, I don't know if it's a Vonnegut quote or who said it, but it was everyone should live in New York and Los Angeles, and you leave New York before you get hard, and you leave LA before you get soft.
That was
Vonnegut.
Is that Vonnegut?
Was it? Yeah,
during the
speech at one of the East Coast graduations.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I wasn't sure. I'm glad I attributed it.
Because that's exactly right. Because 20 years into it, I went, you know, it's too cold here. I know I'm not happy. Let me leave. And I visited friends here and went, oh, look at this place. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea always for me early on was to be bicoastal. That was
the most exotic.
Well, I'm bi-curious coastal. Is that the same thing? I'm bi-coastal curious, which means
we want to hear more about that.
Yeah. I'm bi-coastal curious, which means I live in Chicago. That's what you end up with when you're bi-coastal curious. We want to continue to talk to both of you, but we have to pay the bills with our live arts calendar. Michael, would you kick it off?
Yes, absolutely, with pleasure. Best known for her Emmy Award-winning role as repressed psychiatrist Lilith on the hit comedy Cheers, actress, singer, and dancer Bebe Neuwirth is one of today's most versatile performers, having earned 2 Tony Awards on Broadway for her roles in Chicago and Sweet Charity. Accompanied by pianist Scott Cady, the glamorous Neuwirth brings the stage to life on February 23rd at 8 p.m. with an evening of favorite songs and stories from her critically lauded one-woman cabaret show. L.A.'s newest theatrical home, the beautiful Valley Performing Arts Center, offers a vibrant and diverse performance program to the Los Angeles theater-going community every season, as well as serving as the intellectual and cultural heart of the San Fernando Valley. The Valley Performing Arts Center series at California State University Northridge is known for its commitment to bring and engaging professional performances of the highest caliber to its exceptional venues. For tickets to see Bebe Neuwirth in concert on February 23rd, visit valleyperformingartscenter.org or Ticketmaster online, or simply call Valley Performing Arts Center box office at 818-677-3000.
Dirty Laundry Lit is an L.A. reading series that blends music and literature in underground speakeasy. Hosted by former SNL writer Jeff Ayers and sponsored by Penn Center USA, Dirty Laundry Lit offers hilarious and sultry stories about love, sex, and love lost. Their Valentine's Day episode, Love Sucks, will take place on Saturday, February 16th at 7 p.m. at the Virgil. That's 4519 Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles. It features a kissing booth, $1 tacos, and half-priced drinks. And if you are in town, be sure to try to catch this. It's one night. Jeff Ayers is a brilliant writer, a great stand-up, an old friend of mine, and does phenomenal work and doesn't perform or get out on the boards nearly enough. So this would be a great opportunity for people to see him and host these great readings. Which,
it's a great theater and cheap food.
Yeah.
Good, what cheap food.
I mean, and a kissing booth.
And
when
is
the last
booth.
Time that was offered? Huh?
Last time I put one up.
That was, yeah. Is that what they're calling it now, Michael?
That's what I called it.
Well, let's do our, before we talk to Elijah here, let's do our sweepstakes.
Yeah, and, so the sweepstakes, yeah.
You want to kick that off?
Yes, of course. Time again, ladies and gentlemen, for our state-of-the-art sweepstakes sponsored by Breakdown Services. And each week we raffle off a different prize to a fan of State of the Arts. The prizes are furnished by Breakdown Services and include free yearly subscriptions to Casting About, casting agent directories, free video uploads for actors, headshot retouching, even a free year, Paul, of unlimited submissions on Actors Access. And to enter, ladies and gentlemen, all you have to do is like us on our Facebook page by visiting facebook.com/stateoftheartsLA. So, Paul, can we have a drum roll, please?
We certainly can. We certainly can, Michael. I'm more than happy to provide you with
this. Wow.
And today's winner is David Reynolds from Los Angeles, California. He will receive unlimited submissions on Actors Access for a full year. David, if you're listening, congratulations. And we will also alert you through our Facebook page. Him win like that. And now, before we talk to Elijah, you were an active theater goer this week.
I was.
Were you not?
Yes, I was. I actually had the great pleasure of attending the opening night and doing the red carpet for Jekyll and Hyde at the Pantages, as I said. And wow, this is the all new version that is going back to Broadway. And I must say, it was stunning.
Really?
And the stars of it, Constantine Maroulis from American Idol. Surely you remember Constantine.
Yes.
Who's now become a bona fide Broadway star, having starred, of course, in Rock of Ages on Broadway, beginning his career in New York. But this guy has got training vocally that it goes way back, and surprisingly so, to the opera side of his life, which few people know about. And he certainly, it's evident on the stage, because how this young man gets through this performance 8 times a week on the road is beyond me, because it is non-stop. And he's got a gorgeous voice, and he also has quite a brilliant flair for acting. And I appreciated that very much in this production, versus seeing him in Rock of Ages, which was much more lighthearted and
campy,
yeah. But he does an amazing job, and I had the pleasure of spending some time with him before the show talking, and to his co-star, Deborah Cox, who is gorgeous, gorgeous, a pop star, and a beautiful singer, and she had some amazing moments in the show as well. Scenically, I was telling Mary Pat earlier, scenically, the whole show has a different feeling about it. It's very contemporary to attract the younger theater-going audience, which I'm sure is why Constantine and Deborah are also starring in it. But it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't take away from the wonderfulness of the story itself and the music that Frank Wildhorn and Leslie Bricus wrote for this show. In fact, both of them were there, and I got to share some time with them, which was wonderfully interesting. You can imagine talking to those two.
Now, you said it was retooled, Michael. Do you know where those changes took place, or are they subtle, or what?
Basically, pretty much in the orchestrations.
Okay.
And the look of the show and the feel of the show.
Okay.
So it's very high tech, modern, yet set in the period of which it was written. But it kind of boggles the mind now, because now you're watching a very famous piece of literature, and yet at the same time you're seeing it now being given this enormous facelift.
Right.
The theater.
Classic, contemporary.
It is, and I think probably it's a smart thing. You know, it did well the first time around in New York, but it played for 2 years, but it wasn't one of the greatest hits in New York. I think the attraction to it was the title. You know, more theater goers and tourists in New York would go see it for that reason alone. But I think going back this time, it's going to have a different life there. So I'm excited for them, and kudos to, as I said, Constantine Maroulis and Deborah Cox at the Pantages. And you can easily get tickets at Pantages Theater's home base, which is called BroadwayLA.org, and it is running for the next about 10 days. It's there for a 2-week
engagement. Well, that sounds great. I think it's also one of the reasons, probably, for the retooling is what Elijah mentioned earlier, is the constant attempt to get younger blood into theater these days,
important.
Which is so important. I will introduce our next guest,
please,
Michael, if that's okay with you. His credits are impressive, to say the least, in all mediums of entertainment, as we heard earlier. His film and television work includes such screen ventures as Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, and the WB's Summerland, on which he was a recurring character. Broadway audiences saw him in Metamorphosis, Midas, and Orpheus at Circle in the Square. And across the country, his work with Shakespeare includes the Oregon, Utah, and California in Henry VIII, Man and Superman, The Tempest, The Merchant of Venice, and so many more. Please welcome the co-star of Fallen Angels at the Pasadena Playhouse, Mr. Elijah Alexander.
Welcome, sir.
He's getting a standing ovation.
Standing ovation.
We don't really have much more. The only other option is this one. So
never do that.
You know, there's time for that too.
Any man who brings in chocolate.
Well, he
to
did.
The hosts,
he did more than that.
And
he brought
flowers.
He brought more than chocolate. He actually brought a little homage to Valentine's Day. Did you not?
I did.
Elijah,
would you
care to tell us what we can expect here?
And the poem.
Yeah.
Ah.
If you're up for it.
Yes,
you know.
Absolutely. Well, I play a Frenchman in this show, and I've had to sort of go back and all the stops, as it were. I found a French poem that seemed appropriate for Valentine's Day. So I'd like to share that with you.
Please do. Nice. I wish I had an underscore for you, but I've used them all. I could hum.
Would you mind?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
How are you at humming?
I would mind.
No. Let's give you the full stage here.
All right. Toute ma vie, maîtresse, j'ai attendu pour toi. Dans mes rêves d'enfant, je t'espérais déjà. Maîtresse, embrasse-moi, baisse-moi, serre-moi, haleine contre haleine, échauffe-moi la vie. Mille et mille baisers, donne-moi, je te prie,
Amour vaut tout son nombre. Amour n'a point de loi.
Wow.
And now, as good as that was, and that was phenomenal.
That was.
I would now like to do a public service for our listeners.
Okay.
And if you would read that again, Elijah, I will do a simultaneous translation. So please go ahead. Just the first couple of lines. Go ahead.
Is that
go right ahead. Just the first couple, and just let me, give me a little break, and I'll
I didn't know
throw the translation.
French,
you don't know a lot about me.
I know that.
Good stuff.
Go ahead.
Toute ma vie, maîtresse.
My aunt's blue pen is on the dresser.
J'ai attendu pour toi.
The pizza is blue in December.
Dans mes rêves d'enfant.
I've got the yo-yo. I'm gifted. Tell you, I'm gifted. Do you? Can you
besides
give us
besides Jekyll and Hyde and Fallen Angels, we have
really.
Can do you have
sort
the,
of friendship?
Do you have the literal translation
yeah,
to that?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you share it?
Yeah, yeah.
Good to hear.
So this is all of my life, mistress. I have waited for you. Since the dreams of my childhood, I have seen you there. Kiss me. Embrace me, hold me tight, breath against breath, breathe me life, a thousand and a thousand kisses, give me, I beg you. Love wants everything without condition, love has no law.
Wow. Beautiful.
Now you see why really he's playing beautiful. Maurice.
Well, yeah. He just totally raised the bar on this show.
I tell, Michael, I do believe I have the vapors.
A little Tennessee Williams.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah, and you have such a beautiful. Do you speak the language? Because you have a beautiful.
It's so funny. I took 8 years and been to that beautiful country a few times and been called upon to actually play Frenchmen quite a bit.
Yeah, that was my next question for you.
Yeah, but it would take me some time to become fluent again. But I used to, in my youth, I was perhaps a little more fluid with it. But I certainly, as an ethnic utility infielder, I can bring out of my bag just about any dialect and about 4 or 5 poems from every language.
Wow.
And a few catchy phrases.
Do you speak French in the play or just with a French accent?
I speak a little French, just a few words, a few phrases. Okay. Je suis enchanté and ravi, ma chère.
But you have to have that, down.
Yeah. So, once upon a time I had a French girlfriend. She taught me a thing or two.
I'm sure she did.
She taught her a thing or two.
That's a whole nother show.
I'm just a U.S. ambassador. Trying to, as a steward of our country.
Just making a good impression.
You're a giver. I think you're a giver.
Well, yeah. There are a certain group of us that are required to do such things for our country, and keeping up diplomatic relations is important.
You're a giver.
Yes,
you really are.
True.
You're a caring nurturer.
This is true.
My father was born in France, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
where?
My father. He's Italian, but he was born in France. Just outside Paris, a little suburb of Paris.
And you know what I used to say as a kid? I don't know why this even popped into my head right now, but I always used to say, because I thought it was hilarious, and I'm talking about when I was 5 and 6 and 7, I used to always say, France, where the women wear no pants, because wasn't that a rhyme or something?
It was, yes.
I see London, I see France.
I see Mary Pat's underpants.
Michael's underpants. I was trying to be nice. I didn't see us in your underpants.
No, that's how we got over here. But my father, when he immigrated, he could get over on the French quota because none of his brothers could, because it was the 50s and the Italian quota would fill up right away. But he had like dual citizenship, so he can get over on the French quota. His brothers always sort of passively envied him that he was able to get out and come to America and start a new life.
What was that? Envied? Passively
envied, yeah.
That's.
But back to Elijah, I want to talk about my father.
Absolutely.
I haven't talked about him enough, and I've got to talk to the therapist about him shortly.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Italy and France, because, when I was formulating my character's history, see, I only spend a very short time on stage. I'm talked about.
But he is brilliant when he's there. True.
But it's all about your entrance.
Yes,
about setting up. Yeah.
Maurice Duclos is a very functional character. He's talked about for a great deal of the hour and 40-minute play, and then but doesn't show up until the last scene of the play. It's not a surprise. I'm in the program, so anyone going to the show knows.
To show up, right?
I thought they should have not included me in the program at all. So it would be a total surprise, to see this character.
True.
But Before that, I'd really like to say how fortunate I feel and how grateful I am to be working with this cast. Lauren and Mike are terrific, but these three women are, I mean, in these roles, amazing, naturally gifted comedians, and these roles really showcase that. So, I mean, it's been a joy just to watch them through the whole process. Yeah. But it's been fun. It's what theater should be, you know. Yeah. And we're all veterans, you know. We've all done a lot of theater, and we all have a passion for it. So it's nice to get a group of people together who want to do a play for the sake of doing the play.
Well, and getting them together is one thing, but when you get chemistry like this, and reactions like this, you embrace the lightning in the bottle.
Yes,
mm-hmm. You know that happened.
Grateful every performance.
Yeah, oh, that's and great. And it really is top down too, because Art Menke has an amazing heart and a big passion for this, for No Coward and this type of play. And as I was telling Paul earlier, they've been trying to get him and Sheldon Epps. He and Sheldon Epps have been trying to get this play produced at in Pasadena for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So this is the culmination of sort of many years and dreams and ideas coming to
always nice when a long, arduous journey has a payoff like this. I mean, it's always good to be in a hit, but when you're in a hit and so much time has gone into it, that's even better. If only someone knew the website where we could let people know
I think it's PasadenaPlayhouse.org.
It is. And you can also get tickets by calling 626-356-7529, or you can visit the Playhouse box office Tuesday through Sunday from noon to 6. And, of course, the Pasadena Playhouse. I don't have the address here, do I? Do you have it, Michael?
I don't have it handy.
39 South Molina.
Yeah, there we go. But I'm sure that's available at PasadenaPlayhouse.org, too.
Just and then they can get on the interweb.
The interweb, yes, the worldwide net, yes, there and buy their tickets.
So after you see Jekyll and Hyde,
yes,
and you can go see Fallen Angels, or before, or on the same day, you can actually
go to the matinee,
take in a matinee of Jekyll and Hyde.
I'd do that.
And then later in the week, you could see...
I'd come just to hear you speak French.
Well, I was going to say, you could come see Maurice Duclos in his one-man burlesque show, which is...
When is that happening?
Maurice do unclothed?
We're just calling it exposed.
Oh, my.
What's the website?
We want to maintain some mystery. But it is Maurice exposed.
Let me ask you something, because I've been in shows where it's been similar for me, and I've had to do a lot of sitting around. How do you cope with that, just that amount of downtime? When the show starts, and you know you still have a good amount of time, I mean... What is your tactic to sort of keep energy up and keep it fresh?
It's a great question. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I am not kidding. Yes.
You're just crawling out of your skin to get out there.
Out of my skin.
We are cut from the same cloth.
I have been wandering around Pasadena because I have a late call, and so, you know, I have lots of time, and I can't sit there.
Yeah.
You know, sort of chomping at the bit. So I do walkabouts. I walk around Pasadena. I visit the beautiful churches. I sit. I talk to people and get manicures and pedicures and facials. Take tango lessons.
You're quite the French fop.
I'm cosmopolitan. kind of. It's hard. It's hard, man. It's like because you know when you go out, you don't have that first moment to connect with the audience.
Right.
Where you go out, you breathe them in, they breathe you in, you arrive, and then that's sort of a springboard.
Right.
That always, I always say, you know, if you don't feel nervous before you go on stage, you should do something else. And I'm talking to myself when I say that, but I always, you know, you get a little, it's a little charged, it's electric.
Right, right.
And this in particular, because I don't have a moment to come out and connect with the audience.
Right. You're not starting with the train.
Right.
You're hopping on a train that's moving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's well
and
said.
Moving
yeah.
fast.
Yeah.
And moving
no
really
power.
Fast.
And he's just sort of shot out of a cannon. And that's why I love that scene so much, because he is a master at doing that. He comes out, he's introduced, the audience goes, oh my God, look at him. And here he is. We've been talking about him for an hour and 35 minutes. And then he has this amazing scene where he wraps everything up, and then there's a little twist sort of at the end. I mean, he really does it does it brilliantly.
I do pay her as my publicist.
Because when you were saying that, Mary Pat, I just thought about something. Because it's not only the fact that you have all of the downtime to wait before you get out there, but it's also I don't want to say the distillation of the performance, but the importance of the performance, because it's so focused.
Yeah, it's extremely functional. It's interesting. Early on, when I first started approaching this, I wanted to, you know, I'm in rehearsal and I'm wanting to explore the complexities of Maurice, and Art is like, okay, can you just do that faster? And smile more.
And smile more.
Which became and then I realized, I didn't have to realize that I was a function. You know, I am a function. And sure, Maurice has a wonderful personal history that you can have off stage.
Yeah.
And actually several of the community members in Pasadena have
have heard that.
Have been privy to much of Maurice's personal history. But it isn't
just functional. I mean, when you say, I understand what you mean when you say that, because you're wrapping everything up for
negatively.
Us. And, but it's so much more than that. I mean, I can imagine somebody coming in and just doing this functional thing where they speak with a French accent and they look good and they, you know, tell the whole rest of the story or wrap it all up. But that's not what he does. And you can tell by listening to his credits what an amazing actor he is. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, you know, when you're talking about a brilliant cast, this is a main part of it.
Well, it's an amazing actor that knows their place in the world of the play, and just that it's not a time to showboat, it's not a time to be flash on stage, it's a time to fit and to honor the play with what your job in the play is.
Exactly.
It's Ringo. Not flash, just, but he's always there.
Right. He's got a steady foundational beat.
Yeah. Just there.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually a good analogy.
I always throw Ringo.
I'm
out
Ringo.
There. He's Ringo.
Every
he's
show,
Ringo.
I'm playing Ringo.
You're Julius Erving.
Julius Erving, please, from my hometown.
We got 5 minutes, Michael. Shall we baptize these two?
We must.
Oh my gosh.
It's only the right thing to do.
One of the things we do on the show at the end of every show is we always like to ask people something about some sort of performance disaster, something that went wrong on stage, hopefully funny, not tragic. I think the running winner right now in terms of the worst thing to happen on stage in our 100-plus shows is the guy who the live rat went up into his costume while he was performing.
Yeah.
That one is probably where the bar is set currently. But of course, it doesn't have to be totally skin crawly like that. It could just be something that went wrong and was funny or silly.
And it could be also, not necessarily on the theater stage. It could be during film or television show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mary Pat, you want to kick it off, or Elijah, you want to?
Do you have a good one? Go ahead.
I was an young actor, still in grad school.
You're still young.
Yeah. I do feel young. Thank you.
I do. And you look young.
I feel like, thank you. Appreciate that.
I tell you, Michael, he's the only one that comes close to you with the cashmere vocal cords.
I know. He's got that. I'm actually finding myself lowering my voice.
I know. I want to talk.
I can speak lower.
Let's do the rest of the show.
Well, I have to save my voice for tonight's performance.
You do.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Tell us your story.
Please tell a long one.
There you go. I was a younger actor in grad school, and we did John Guare came to do a revival of Landscape of the Body, starring Laura Linney.
Wow.
You probably know Laura Linney now. She's a fabulous actress.
John Guare.
And John Guare, of course. And it was my first audition where I took the train in from New Haven to New York and met with John Guare. It was a big deal for me. And they cast me in this great role of Raulito, who is Cuban Lothario. Okay. So Maurice, but Cuban. And in a gold lamé dress. Who ran a travel agency. Anyway, so I have, I did a few scenes with Laura Linney, one of them being a waltz and a dip and a love scene where I'm seducing her. And we did a show, and there was a knock on my dressing room door. And, at this time I was young and eager to impress and, you know, fully sort of fearless. I was fearless in a different way than I am now. I get a knock on my door, and she, at the time I was Steve, I went by a different name. Steve, can I talk to you for a minute? And beautiful, generous, kind Laura Linney, red-faced, comes to me at my dressing room door and says, "Sweetheart, would you mind not kissing me so hard, you bit my lip. And she did. She had like a swollen lip. And I was just mortified. But it was a very sweet moment, and we actually became friends after that. Actually, Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward were at that show, and it was came backstage, and it was a highlight for me in many ways.
Oh wow!
Makes for a decent embarrassing story. I was embarrassed, but only for a short time.
Yeah, would you mind not kissing me so hard?
So hard. Yeah,
I was a little aggressive.
You're Laura Linney. How am I not going to kiss you so hard?
Yeah, and I'm a Cuban in a gold lamé dress and. Waltzing her to the edge of love.
Well, you can bet you always you've left her with a memory for the rest of her life, right?
If not a scar.
Well, Mary Pat, it's you're lucky. We actually are out of time,
so you get
off. Oh, that's my fault.
No.
Listen, I don't really have anything as wonderful
you
as that.
You said it just happened the other night.
Oh, that's because I fell at the end of my curtain call. It was very.
And there you go.
And I crawled off the stage, but the men are behind me, and so it was quite all right. It was exiting the. Stage.
So we formed it like a Roman phalanx behind her.
And I'm laughing so hard because I fell and then I just was crawling and it was just, that was funny to me.
Of course. Okay, you fit it in.
There you go.
Well, and then backstage I kissed her aggressively.
Yes, it was lovely.
I kissed
her. She did not bite my lip.
Did not bite her lip. Bite your lip. Well, we're delighted to have both of you on.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. It was very fun.
The show is the website for the show, once again, PasadenaPlayhouse.org. Do not miss it. Michael, a pleasure to share the mic with you as always.
Same with you, Paul.
And
see you on the radio.
We'll see you next week on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.